from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
The Independence Day falling on a Saturday, which I'm sure that a lot of Americans are kind of, you know.
Well, here's the whole deal. When that happens, everybody gets the Friday off. So today, the 3rd, is really kind of the celebrate and get drunk tonight. Well, I guess you can get drunk the entire weekend, but they don't screw you out of that. They give you that day no matter what.
Well, certainly no one who listens to this podcast is a drunken layabout. How many people do you think actually listen to the show while drinking or, you know, consuming some kind of drug, you wonder? Do you think it's significant?
You know what? I honestly think that the majority of these people listen to us on the bus or back and forth from different places. This is how normal people listen to this kind of stuff. They go places. They have a lot of time.
Going places.
Yeah.
You mean they don't stay at home like us?
Yeah. On a beautiful 3rd of July day, they don't to sit in their dark garage with the door closed and the fan off so that we get the crystal clear sound, man.
And then the heat slowly builds in our makeshift studio.
Yep.
Studio / office. You know, that's the weird thing about working in your own studio. It gets hot, man. Anytime you have to soundproof anything, the more you soundproof it, the more of an oven it becomes.
Well, is this the free show?
This is the free show.
Is this the first free show since I've gotten back?
I don't think so. No, you came back and we did a show before, didn't we?
Yeah, I think it was a pay show though. I don't know, but regardless of,
yeah, maybe
it's a pretty extreme change. I actually, when I went down to Tennessee, I dressed for the warmth, but I didn't dress for the air conditioning. And truth be told, I was freezing the entire time I was there. Up here now, I'm starting to feel the sweat.
Well, you know what's funny? We do a lot of radio shows, and this is probably the third time that we mentioned the sort of like you on vacation in Tennessee, because we have no choice. You know, there's so many podcasts we're producing. At one point, you're like, did we mention this before? And we have to take the assumption that now we didn't mention it. We probably mentioned it on one of the many other shows.
Yeah, as far as, you know, what we're supposed to mention, we barely mention all the topics we're supposed to talk about. So trust me, it just comes up because it comes up. It's hot. It was cooler down in the States. Not to say it wasn't over, when I had AC, it was over 100 degrees Fahrenheit down there, but yeah, it was nice here.
AC is one of those things I don't get a lot of ever. I mean, when we went to the grocery store today, yes, we go to the grocery store together, it's sad, but what can you say?
Oh, half the grocery chicks think we're a gay couple.
Absolutely, absolutely. But walking in there, I was like, ooh, what is this, am I walking into a freezer? It's, I think actually, sadly or crazily enough, my body's getting used to all this heat. Mm. I mean, when you came back, you were complaining, is it hot in here? I'm like, what are you talking about, man? This is always the temperature in here. So you were spoiled. So welcome back to hell. Welcome back to hell.
It's fitting. I think it's pretty fitting.
Now, I wanted to just talk a little bit about patriotism. Now, I post up a little thing.
You posted a big...
Wasn't that big?
You know what? I'm just going to say this. Fucking have some more fun, you dour-ass motherfucker.
Look, I'm just saying, you know what I did for Canada Day? I just hung out with a girlfriend, and we just watched some of the show Numbers. That's what we did. That's what I did on Canada Day. I didn't want to do anything else.
I don't know, but what else you did was you put up a post on The Good Atheist saying... Happy whatever day to you guys, but I think it's bullshit, and I think that patriotism is evil. And I'm just like, meow, boo.
Hey, I got Leo Tolstoy on my in my corner. Yeah.
I don't know enough about Tolstoy to say either way, but I'm pretty sure that no one really cares about Tolstoy.
That's not nice. I'm sure plenty of Russian people care, you know, because when you only get a... Well, I mean, they have quite a few,
They have quite a few. Yeah, don't go quite there.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. Mm. But, you know, they have their pride. They have their pride. Their country is messed. But they still have their old pride, and they're like, we still produce chess grandmasters and ballet dancers, you bastards. Mm. And you're like, yeah, but your country is backwards in so many places, it's ridiculous. Like, shacks, AK-47, and broken windshield. That's all you'll see. That's all you'll see in most parts of Russia.
Yeah, well, you know, Russia is gigantic. Russia's kind of like... An evil Canada.
It's true, eh?
The way I look at it, the people aren't evil by any means, but it's just you could tell that corruption and everything else is taking
its toll. All I was trying to say is that I think it's kind of sad that we just can't seem to get rid of these colonial you know, aspects. I'm positive in the future we're not going to have these kinds of celebrations. We're going to have different ones. I mean, do you think that these are going to maintain? I think human beings are just keep getting closer and closer and closer. I mean, look at the European Union. There will be a day where it's just going to be more advantageous to say you're from the European Union than you are from Italy, and it's going to piss every old school Italian off when their kids start, you know, calling themselves European. But it's going to happen, man. It's going to happen. You open up that shit, and people are like, we want to connect with the greater mind. You know, I want to be in the great hive of mankind, and that's hopefully where we're headed at.
Yeah, but there is something to say for the idea that, you know, you work hard and you want your country to have a good reputation and this and that. And that's basically how I look at patriotism, is you're just proud of the good things that your country does, and that's pretty much it.
I think that pride is just one of those things that people use to confuse and befuddle you. They're like, well, don't ask this question. A patriot would never ask these kinds of questions, or
well,
so on and so forth. Patriotism is a nasty little bit, all right, when it can so easily be turned around, you know. You're anti-American, or you're anti-Canadian for believing this and that, and you know what? That is the position that people have taken.
Listen, Jake, every single coin has two sides. So are we just going to say that we should ignore everything that can be twisted for evil?
I'm saying that the flip side of patriotism is more dangerous than the advantage that we have from having strong patriotism. I'm saying, like, look, I'm glad that I live in Canada. I like this country. You know, I pay taxes and all that other kind of stuff, and I believe that it is a good place to live.
So
but at the same time, I'm not going to just... Proud of what? I didn't do anything.
No, proud of the fact that you live in a country like that exists. You should be proud
I'm,
of the fact...
I'm proud of the fact of that I, there was the coincidence of my birth was this location. I'm so proud of that
I know,
fact.
But we're more celebrating the fact that this country exists in the state that it exists now.
I would love it to be in many very different states. I consider Canada to not have changed the last 150 years, and that's relatively annoying. There's so many things that annoy me about this country. That's the 1st of July reminds me of. Every fucking thing that annoys me about Canada and Canadians. It's what I'm reminded of all the time.
Okay, Scrooge.
I'm the Scrooge when it comes to sort of patriotism. So sue me. I'm a humanist. I don't want to care about 30 million people. I want to care about 7 billion. That's just who I am, man. That's mm-hmm. who I am. I celebrate Earth
Day.
I celebrate Earth Day.
They are not mutually exclusive.
They're not, but they can often be... Oh.
That's the 10th fire truck that's gone by in the past couple of days. We live right next to a fire station, and everybody's burning their houses down this summer.
I figure it's got to be the barbecues, everybody's barbecues. I was just thinking to myself, you know, I was fixing our barbecue. Man, we are idiots. We are goddamn idiots.
Hey, Jake leaves the stove on half the time.
Oh, well, you've never done anything stupid yourself.
Well, I've done lots of stupid things, but I never do that.
Because you never cook. Of course you can't keep the stove on when you never go near the damn oven.
Dude, do you think that
you would leave the stove on ever? Yes, absolutely, it happens. When you get accustomed to cooking, that's the scary thing that happens. It's like, you are always careful with dynamite the first 100 times, but after fucking 10,000 times of handling that shit, you're careless.
I love this argument where I make fun of you for not turning off the stove, and you say, theoretically, you could have left it on too.
No,
and I'm like, what?
I'm saying that people are careless regardless of who they are. You're not more careful than anybody else. You're not better than anybody else.
I'm just saying that certain people are more or less careful when it comes to fire, and as far as fire is concerned, I am not an idiot. I will fully admit I am a fucking retard in a lot of different realms, but as far as when it comes to anything involving knives, fire, danger, stuff like that, I'm usually pretty careful.
Everybody is for a first little while.
Yeah.
You get careless.
Until they slip up like you.
Until they slip
like
up.
You.
Like me.
Over
like
and over.
Me.
Like you.
Over and over. Well, at least once a month. At least once a month.
Okay, let's roll forward. Let's talk religion. You got some religious stuff?
There is something that I want to talk. It's kind of a part of a general theme. I had a couple fans that were asking me, saying, you know, because I guess that the question of evolution and science conflicting is becoming a bigger issue all the time. And there was actually, there was a few people that came out, you know, because there's two sides. There's the accommodationists, I guess you could call them, and there's the ones that are exclusive, like they want to exclude religion from science altogether, saying these are incompatible, they can't work together, so on and so forth. So I wanted to just talk a little bit about that, and I wanted to sort of explain what my opinion is regarding science and religion. I wanted to use a few stories, and the first story that comes to mind, I don't know if you read it on the site, was the a little girl by the name of Eva Worthington, who died, unfortunately. She's an 18-month-old baby girl, and basically what happened is that her parents are creation scientists, which means that they don't believe in science, whatever the fuck that means. Anyways, so she gets an infection, and she has pneumonia, and a cyst grows on her neck, actually choking her, constricting air to airflow, and that's actually what kills her, a cyst on the neck. She also had a blood infection or whatever. Now, they refused to call the hospital, it was never something they were thinking about. Now, they're dead. They lawyered up like crazy. That's the first thing they did, by the way, when their kid died. They called a lawyer. And now they're just basically, they want to defend their right to exercise religion and saying, like, well, they did nothing wrong.
Well, you know what's interesting? These people kind of sound like, and are they also like anti-government, like nut jobs as well? Because it kind of sounds like if once your daughter dies, the first thing you do is call a lawyer. You might say, oh, well, that just shows the sleazy nature. I honestly think that maybe these are the kinds of people that avoid contact with the government at all costs.
I don't think
because
so.
they hate it.
They didn't seem that way to me. I think that the reason they called lawyers was it's just that's what you do when your kid dies, man. Because when you have a child, you have a responsibility. You know, like if your child dies under your care, you're going to jail, man. Like, everybody knows that.
What do you mean if you're Jack? Lots of people's children die and they don't go to jail. Like, you're talking about...
For neglect?
For neglect. Yeah, fine.
Obviously, look, if your child dies drowning and, you know, you weren't watching that one second, everybody's going to recognize there are accidents that happen. But, you know, this is no accident. This is a kid that dies because they were sick and nobody called the hospital.
Yeah, are you saying so that they recognize the fact that, oh, that's neglect, and they called the lawyers? I don't see that as a very likely...
I think that they understood that, well, you know, there's been other cases where people have gone to jail for that exact same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like that woman who didn't give, insulin to her diabetic daughter?
Yeah.
She went to jail. She was found guilty. So, I mean, these people are going to jail, obviously. They're not stupid. They realize that not having called the doctor caused it. But, you know, you obviously have to understand the back of their mind, they're probably thinking, you know, like, I know they claim that they don't believe science works, but their entire lives is you know, the product of science. I mean, like, do you think that they went to the courthouse on a wheel and buggy? Do you think they hopped on a horse and went to court? Do you think that they used, the mailing system to talk to a lawyer? They used a phone. They probably even used a cell phone. You know what I mean? Here's and this is the broader thing that I want to talk about this whole, well, you know, these religious individuals that want to see us separate ourselves from science. I mean, they're using science. I'm like, if you want to say that science is bullshit and it's just corrupting society, then abandon everything that science represents. Abandon your phones, abandon your cars. Abandon plumbing, you know? Abandon all these things. Abandon fucking drinking water that you can get out of the tap. That uses science. We put chlorine in the water. That's to take away the pathogens and all that other kind of stuff. The reason we put chlorine in the water? Modern germ theory. That's science, bitch. So you better start drinking from a pond again. Like, I'm getting annoyed here that people can kind of pick and choose and say, well, we don't believe in medical science, but all the other conveniences of life, like refrigeration, we'll keep that, sure. But the rest is bad. I'm like, what the fuck is this, man? It's bullshit. Fucking bullshit.
I suppose if you're going to make a blanket statement against science, which a lot of people are doing, then it's pretty bullshit. But most people just believe science up to a point, and then past that, they say, no, that's wrong. That's how they view it anyways, and that's how it's... Because you make a compelling argument, but it's basically a different argument than they're making.
Well, they want to keep the argument toward the very specific belief or ideology. They're like, well, we don't believe in doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, well, why don't you believe in doctors? Well, we believe in the power of prayer and only God can heal you and so on and so forth. And I'm like, well, how do you, you know, what do you think about all these other things that, you know, are the byproduct of medical science? Just something as common as drinking water. That's the product of medical science, like. We don't drink cholera-infested sewage water anymore because that's really bad. And, you know, like back in the old days, nobody really thought that there would be anything wrong with the stuff that you drink. Can you imagine? That was just I mean, there's still places in the world where they don't even bother to chlorinate or at least treat their water.
Oh, yeah. Look at the Ganges, where people are taking holy baths right downstream from where people are taking holy craps.
Oh, not just holy craps. It's where people dump their bodies and stuff. You know, like they'll cremate the bodies and they'll throw the ash, or I think they wash even dead bodies. I mean, who knows what's going on in that lake, but, you know, you can't see more than a centimeter down in that water. It's disgusting. But, you know, it's part of this religious ritual, so they keep going there and washing themselves with it. And I'm like, every Indian rationalist is always saying the same thing. Stop doing that. You're spreading disease. For the love of science, stop spreading disease. I wish we could say that. But okay, I want to go to the broader term, because this is a really touchy issue here. It's a touchy issue in terms of if you want to separate religion and science, because it's Stephen Jay Gould used to say they were non-overlapping magisteria. That's what he called them. He said that they were different ways of acquiring knowledge, right? And that they did not intersect at all. But I think that we're finding nowadays that this is not true. I mean, you can claim that, but at the end of the day, I mean, they do intersect. We know that that's pretty damn obvious. You know, we see it all the time when, you know, you have people who are offended or who are worried about how the theory of evolution works with their religious Christian beliefs. Were you telling me about a really interesting site that was always trying to deal with these kinds of things, like the Honest Christians? The Christians are like, damn, what do we do about it?
Yeah, while I was down in Tennessee, I was checking out a bookstore that had a Christian section. And interestingly enough, a lot of the books in there were Christians talking about the problems within their own faith, like how do we deal with people who basically have mental problems that are giving religion they're giving religion a bad name. You know what I mean? That how do we deal with these groups of people who are pushing back medical this and that? Like a very pragmatic approach to fixing the nuts and bolt problems with Christianity. I just thought it was really interesting to read that, because I've never heard of any of these things before. But unfortunately, this was a new bookstore, not a used bookstore, and the books were like $23 a pop, and I was like,
budget.
Yeah, exactly.
That's unfortunate. You know, that's the unfortunate thing of being poor. But you know, it does lead me to a good point, which was one of the things that I wanted to say, was that I think the interesting thing that's happening is that because of all of these fundamentalists, these religious fundamentalists that have been basically gaining ground in unreason, where they, you know, they'll build a creation museum of $24 million goddamn dollars, you know, they'll reprint Darwin's Theory of Evolution book, you know, like with Kirk Cameron, with a Ford saying that evolution is wrong, all of these things, and you know, I can understand why some moderate Christians would be worried about that, because all conflicts are determined by, you know, like by the fringes, you know, by the individuals that are really hardcore religious that are trying to destroy science and setting a bad name for you, and the ones that are just trying to prevent that. Say, atheists basically say, well, okay, you religious guys, you need to get out of this table because you guys are just too crazy, and that's it. You've had your turn, and you were civil for a while, but now you've all gone crazy, and we can't tell the difference anymore. It's like one of those conversations that I wish we didn't have to have. Because if you honestly ask me my opinion about this, I would say that I'm not really – I don't think it should necessarily be excluded.
What, religion?
Yeah, well, religious belief per se. I mean, look, people will dance around that kind of shit all the time. Chris Miller, which was one of the main guys who helped defend the theory of evolution in the Dover trial, is a Christian. And he basically says that the virgin birth and that kind of stuff has to be understood as a metaphor. Whether or not he feels the same way about the resurrection, I don't even care. Obviously, this guy's done some kind of mental gymnastics to make it work and to make it fit. And this is how he reasons and justifies his own life. And he seems to be doing okay in the field of science with it. He's managed to bottle that shit up and sort of keep it separate. And I'm like, does it work? Yeah, it can work. There's been plenty of guys that have been great scientists that have been religious. So you can't really throw everybody out that just basically says, well, I believe in God. Because think about how many great minds you're going to be throwing away just because they have one particularly silly fucking belief. So they believe in something silly.
But the interesting thing is a lot of these people, you know, they believe in God, but it's not like they believe in the entire religious structure surrounding whatever religion, say, they were raised as, or the prevailing religions that exist around them. You know what I mean? It's like our friend Pat, who believes in a higher power. It's like, I'll give credence. I'll say, okay, you believe in a higher power, fine by me. But as soon as anybody starts saying that higher power wants me to do this and that,
or that higher power is responsible for this scientific principle, you're like, shut up,
dude. Or this higher power wrote a book 2,000 years ago that says that this isn't like this, so therefore your scientific theory is obviously wrong, which is where we're stuck with evolution for some reason.
I know, we can't get over this hump, and I've got to tell you, if you are listening out there and you are a Christian, we have Christians that are listening right now. They're curious about what atheists have to say, and some of them are oddly entertained by us, so fucking go nuts. more listeners, all the better. My advice to you is that you have to do something. It's up to you guys, because really the
stop making religion look dumb.
Yeah, stop making it look dumb, because everybody that's at the grown-ups table that's talking about science and progress and all this other kind of stuff, we're starting to think that you guys are you're being marginalized by your big bullies, your big bully buddies that are basically have declared that anyone who doesn't believe what they believe is not Christian and so on and so forth. And you know, they annoyed me. I want a truce, okay? I want a truce. I want this to not affect any area of our lives. You can go believe whatever the fuck you want to believe, but just don't mix it with other stuff. Otherwise, that's when I come in and I start being a jerk.
Pretty much.
And telling you that, no, you need to sit back down. And if you really want to have a discussion about what you believe, like, look, I got to be honest with you guys. You believe in some pretty silly stuff, all right? This is a lot. Most of it is nonsense. I'll be honest with you. But so what? I mean, I probably believe in some degree of nonsense. I know I have believed in nonsense in the past. I used to believe in a whole bunch of stupid conspiracy theories. Maybe there's even some things that I think I'm totally right about that are nonsense, and that's fine. And a person who can have a strong enough argument to show me how that belief is nonsense, I am always more than happy to sit down with these people and say, enlighten me. But you can't start... When you're having a discussion saying, like, okay, well, you believe in nonsense, you don't start by saying, here's a book that was written 2,000 years ago, or here's a bunch of stories that, like, no. Okay, like, I want some facts here. I deal with facts.
Like,
that's what I like.
Don't say that we can't do stem cell research because of something in a stupid book. Don't say that we can't have condoms in Africa because of something the Pope is saying. Don't say these things. Don't do these things. No. You're not allowed.
It's not cool. I mean, you guys are the majority, and you have not done enough to foster scientific progress in the West. You really haven't. You have actually done the very opposite of that. You've fought. Like, the hardcores of you have fought people at every step. I mean, like, we're trying to use stem cell research to cure people. We're not trying to use them to, I don't know, create a weapon of mass destruction or something. No, we're it's entirely for good. That's what it's for. All right, we're like, wow, this cell is a cell that we can make anything out of. We can make new heart cells. We can make new brain cells. We can make all kinds of cells. You know, you have to look at yourself as a collection of just cells, man. You're just trillions of cells that work together for some reason. Why? Well, they all do.
Okay. Well, you know, it's that whole part that gets rid of the sanctity of your existence. You know, all of a sudden, if you get rid of that, then that's, I guess, the big problem is once you start tugging at these threads, the entire weave just falls apart. And that's why I think people have a lot of problems with it. That's why they have such an issue with evolution, because they don't want to be the same as animals. They don't want to think that they're just a highly evolved animal, because that completely blows holes in all the core tenets of their religion. It's too far.
And that's the reason why at the scientific table, that's the consensus. That's what everybody agrees on. That's what all the facts point to. And when you come in and you're like, no, it isn't. We were created by God. I'm like, shut up, okay? You're not at the grown-ups table. You came over and you're like, I don't want to be an animal. I want to be special. And I'm like, you're a special animal. Better? No. Well, too bad, you know? Like, can we move forward? We have to, there are lots of things about evolution that we still have to, you know, discover. Like, one of the crazy things is that we still have a very difficult time understanding how enzymes work and all these kinds of things. I mean, how proteins fold. We don't even know these things. They're fascinating, but understanding them sort of like, you know, these unlock gigantic chunks, you know, of information, you know, new ways of thinking about our life and our place in the universe. And that's what we're really tired of, because science is beginning to show us what our place is in the universe. And religion is really just trying to say, that's not our place. Our place is to love God and, you know, to sacrifice lambs to him or whatever. That's what they used to do. That's what they used to do. You know, scapegoat. Yeah, you would kill a goat. You know, gross, disgusting. Can we stop doing that? It's disgusting. Okay, you know what? With that, I think we should wrap it up. We're going to catch everybody on Tuesday for the bonus show.